From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, June 9th. I'm Abby Larico. A year ago, a group of concerned people in Rolla got together to help immigrants detained by ICE.
A Biden love showed up in her jail, and they sat with her for the first time, somebody to speak her language to her.
A Biden love has now expanded to 7 affiliates in 3 states. We'll hear from stories told at the first anniversary celebration coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Festus City Council voted last night to reject recall elections for Mayor Sam Richards and 3 city council members. The decision comes months after opposition to a proposed hyperscale data center sparked a citizen-led petition drive. At last night's meeting, the Festus City Attorney issued his legal opinion that the recall petitions were not sufficient. He also said the council members who faced a possible recall, Mike Cook, David Boyer, and Kevin Dennis, should be allowed to vote. Minutes later, over the jeers of those in attendance, the council rejected each resolution. In each case, except when Cook abstained from his own resolution, the council members who faced possible recall voted against the resolutions. Monday's vote means, for now, the recall effort is dead. Missouri voters will decide in August on a restructuring of the state's tax base aimed at eliminating income taxes. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports the Missouri Supreme Court declined to hear a lawsuit against the proposed constitutional amendment.
If passed, the amendment would allow state lawmakers to expand sales and use taxes in order to replace revenue lost by getting rid of the state income tax. The lawsuit against the proposal argues that it improperly amends Missouri's constitution. On Friday, the Missouri Western District Court of Appeals held up a lower court decision keeping the amendment on the August ballot. However, the appellate court also overturned the ballot summary, stating that it did not provide enough information. But the plaintiffs still appealed that ruling to the Missouri Supreme Court. Because the Supreme Court decided not to hear the case, the ruling by the Court of Appeals stands. That means the amendment will be on the ballot on August 4th with a revised summary. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
New regulations for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in Missouri are on hold. The Department of Social Services was supposed to enact new rules in October, banning people from using SNAP benefits to buy candy, prepared desserts, and sugary drinks. Instead, the new regulations will now go into effect in February of 2027. State officials say the delay will give them more time to create educational materials and a detailed product list for retailers. Grocery stores had been asking for more guidance on exactly which items would be restricted at checkout. St. Louis will see a wide range of potentially dangerous weather this week. STLPR's Kate Grumke reports.
The week started off with flash flood warnings, and the region is now under a heat advisory. Temperatures could creep into the 90s, with humidity pushing the heat index above 100 degrees. Heat waves can be more harmful this time of year, says Ben Herzog with the National Weather Service in St. Louis.
This will be the warmest conditions that we've seen so far this year. And so that can just be dangerous to folks that are not used to it. We can start seeing heat exhaustion or heat stroke.
Later in the week, severe storms could hit the region. Herzog says to pay attention to the forecast each day to stay safe. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Researchers at an environmental nonprofit say that the number of days with dangerously humid heat is increasing in the Midwest and the South, and that's putting people's health at risk. St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Fenton reports that climate change is making the air wetter and hotter in some parts of the U.S.
Analysis from scientists at the advocacy group Climate Central shows the number of days with heat index values above 90 degrees is increasing. The heat index takes humidity into account along with the air temperature. The trends most pronounced in the South and Southeast. Tulsa and St. Louis have around 5 more extreme humid heat days a year compared with 1979. Amarillo, Texas has 22 more days. Caitlin Trudeau is an applied climate scientist with the group. She says when humidity goes up, people can't sweat heat out.
And so what it does is it basically just gets trapped inside your body, and it leads to all kinds of problems and gets deadly really quickly.
High humid heat days are especially dangerous for outdoor laborers such as farm workers. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
So again, with this hot and humid weather, the National Weather Service advises to stay hydrated, wear light-colored and loose clothing, and monitor yourself and others for heat illness symptoms. A St. Louis Public Schools employee has been diagnosed with Legionnaire's disease. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports it's a severe form of pneumonia that's treatable with antibiotics but can be fatal without medical intervention.
SLPS announced Friday staff from the district's central office would work from home while water systems underwent testing for the Legionella bacteria. Officials originally said the bacteria was discovered after a plumbing incident in their downtown offices, but later they said the testing only began after Missouri health officials informed them an employee had become ill with the disease. SLPS did not provide an update on the condition of the employee. Legionnaires cannot be passed from person to person. Most people get the disease from inhaling contaminated water droplets, such as from a shower or a sink. School officials say no other employees have shown symptoms. It's unclear when the offices will reopen. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
For the first time in 25 years, St. Louis University and the University of Missouri's men's basketball teams will meet on the court. The Billikens and the Tigers are set to face off November 6th at Enterprise Center in downtown St. Louis as part of a new three-game series. The teams will match up again during the 2027 and 2028 seasons, with all three games played at Enterprise. SLU enters the season after a 29-win campaign and a second-round NCAA tournament run, while Mizzou is coming off back-to-back tournament appearances and is bringing in a highly rated recruiting class. Tickets for the November matchup go on sale later this summer. The second oldest Sumatran orangutan in North America and a longtime resident at the St. Louis Zoo has died. Zoo staff announced through social media that they made the tough decision to humanely euthanize Mira last week. She was suffering from health issues and her quality of life was declining. The 57-year-old orangutan was the head of a big family, including three descendants who were born at the zoo. She gave birth to one of her five kids when she was 45. St. Louis Zoo staff say Mira was a devoted mother and role model to her family group, especially her young grandson, Forrest. Caretakers say she liked to people watch and could be often seen supervising staff working nearby. Mira had lived at the zoo since 1992. One year ago, a man detained by ICE in the Phelps County Jail died by suicide. That led a group of concerned residents in Rolla to form Abide in Love, an organization dedicated to helping immigrants and their families. The movement has spread to seven chapters across three states. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All was there as members of the group celebrated the one-year commitment to their efforts.
Going on a bear hunt.
Going on a bear hunt.
That's 5-year-old Sophia working on her English skills with her teacher, Denise Meyer, in a video last year. Sophia's mom has a story that has become very common over the past 2 years. She was abruptly detained by ICE and faced deportation. In the waning moments before she was taken away, Sophia's mom called Meyer, who ended up becoming Sophia's foster parent for a time. Meyer says Abide in Love also played a huge role.
And that very day, Abide in Love showed up in her jail, and they sat with her for the first time, somebody to speak her language to her the first time since she had been in there, and gave her hope that day. And so Abide in Love then became a connection of hope for us.
Sophia and her mom are together, but they were deported to Honduras, a country Sophia has never known. Meyer says that ending could have been much worse if not for Abide in Love. Over the past year, Abide in Love has provided hundreds of immigrants and their families money for jail phone calls and commissary, grocery deliveries, bus tickets to go home after a release, hotels, rent, bills, and more. Speakers at the Abide in Love event in Rolla shared their stories. Carol Mayorga was one of them who appeared via video. She was in the United States legally but overstayed her visa and was detained by ICE and held for more than a month. Abide in Love and supporters in her town of Kennett rallied around her. Mayorga told Abide in Love President Lucy Barrett that people who tell immigrants to enter the country the right way don't know how hard it is.
No, it's not that simple. Yeah. It's not like, okay, Can you give me a green card, please? No, because they don't understand. They were thinking, we are no criminal. No, we just wanted to have a better life.
It's becoming increasingly difficult to receive asylum in the U.S. under the Trump administration. Some courts have approval rates of less than 5%. One woman from Honduras came to Missouri in 2021 with her two young children. She's so afraid of people who want her deported that we're not using her name. She attended all of her check-ins, but was still detained and put in the Phelps County Jail. A Biden love stepped in to help her with the basics and to help her pursue her asylum case.
La verdad, si no hubiese tenido el privilegio de conocer a Lu.
Honestly, if I didn't have the privilege of knowing Lucy and receiving her help, I don't think I'd have the opportunities I have now. Maybe if they didn't help me, I would have been deported and separated from my children.
This woman is one of the lucky ones. She was let out and allowed to continue with her asylum efforts. A Biden Loves Lucy Barrett says for each person who is in a position to tell their story, there are dozens the group has helped that are still detained or were deported without help and their whereabouts are unknown. She says A Biden Love has done so much good and will keep working towards its goals inspired by Martin Luther King Jr.
I don't think we're there yet. There's lots of sadness and pain there, but there is also hope. I ask you to listen for those glimmers of hope and abide with the brave men and women who have come here to tell us their stories.
A Biden Love started in Rolla, but now has affiliates in St. Louis, Kansas City, St. Genevieve, Springfield, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. The newest affiliate in Tiffin, Ohio, will be up and running soon. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rebecca Thiel edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.